Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and open with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 33. Jeremiah and chapter number 33. We are currently finishing up on the last several messages on this series of the book of Jeremiah. We notice that even though we're in Jeremiah 33 in the middle of the book, that we're at the end of the series. And the reason why is we're taking this series in chronological order, or the order that it happened in history. And at this time, Jeremiah has already been preaching for about 30, 35 years. He's had a long ministry. And now as he finds himself at the twilight of the destruction of Jerusalem, the siege is already going on. Nebuchadnezzar and the army of Babylon is outside, knocking on the walls, preparing to destroy the entire city. Jeremiah finds himself in prison. And that is the context that we find ourselves as we turn to the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 33. Jeremiah 33, and notice with me if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Jeremiah 33 in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from the city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be unto me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without inhabited and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in the city thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at the time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should be not day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priest, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so I will multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people hath spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase with me that we find in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 33? Jeremiah in chapter 33, and notice the phrase in verse number 2, the Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message from Jeremiah 33 about the Lord is his name. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you that you are a God who keeps your promises. It doesn't matter what is going on. It doesn't matter what occurs in our life. You're a God who cannot fail. You're a God that has all power. You're a God who will keep his word. And not only that, you're a God who could do so many amazing things. I'm asking that we would learn of you tonight. That you would open up your scriptures in a special way. That we could walk away saying, wow, what a God. And again, I recognize I don't have any power to do that. I don't have the ability. I don't have the eloquence. I don't have the word. There's nothing I can do to make people say, wow, what a God. That is something that you and your Holy Spirit alone can do. So the best I know how, I'm surrendering myself to you. And I ask that you fill me with your spirit once again. And that you would get your own work accomplished through your precious word. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah, if you remember in verse number 1, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time when he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Now, we understand where Jeremiah is at. That as we've been going through this series, we could see that Jeremiah has been preaching for about 30, 35 years. And in this time, he has been warning people about the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem. And as he's been preaching all alone. He's had the type of ministry where people didn't come up and pat him on the back and say, keep going, you're doing a good job. He didn't have a type of ministry that as he preached that people said, here, preacher, here's a cup of coffee and here's a Dunkin' Donuts and we appreciate what you're doing. He's had a type of ministry where he's been preaching and preaching and preaching with nobody seeming to heed the warning. Everyone else goes to their favorite radio preacher, internet preacher, going to their favorite thing to counteract everything that he has said. And so for 35 years, it seems like his ministry is an abject failure. He's preached through the reign of kings. He started off with Josiah, his good friend, but Josiah died because of a foolish mistake. He's preached during the reigns of Jehoiaz. He's preached through the reign of Jehoiachin and Jehoiakim. He's preached through the reign now of Zedekiah. And each of these kings has refused to heed his warning. It has gotten so bad in the life of Jeremiah that Jeremiah's life is being used as an object lesson. That boys and girls are growing up in school. And it's almost like the teachers are saying, class, you want to see an example of a failure? Just look out Jeremiah. Look out the window and see that crazy preacher. That is an example of a failure. How would you like for your entire life that people said that is an example of a failure? And Jeremiah's done nothing but try to be obedient to God. And yet everyone says his life's a failure. He doesn't have any fruit. He doesn't have followers. He doesn't have retweeters. He doesn't have people liking his post. Nobody is supporting him. And for 35 years, he's been alone. God wouldn't even let him get married, so he didn't even have the support of a loving wife beside him. And it seems like everything is getting bad. He's preached and he's preached and he's preached. And now the thing that he's been warning people about for all these years has come. Babylon is outside of the doors. Now remember, there was a break in the siege just for a bit, and Jeremiah was able to escape, or not to escape, he figured he'd go take a quick vacation. And you know what happened when he took a vacation? He was arrested by a guy who hated him. Happened to be the grandson of a false preacher that God killed because he was preaching a false message. But now Jeremiah got arrested, got brought into the princes. The princes hated his message, so they threw him in the prison. And it hasn't helped that even King Zedekiah has visited him and kept him in prison. Jeremiah's life looks like a failure. Everything that he is preaching against has come to pass. And just a short few days at this point, Jerusalem will be destroyed. King Zedekiah will be killed by Nebuchadnezzar. The entire temple of God will be leveled. How would you feel if you were there? Jeremiah is trying to look towards the Lord, but God has already spoken to him once, a message of hope. And once again in Jeremiah 33, we see it. God delivers another message of hope to Jeremiah. Another message that doesn't tell him why, it tells him who. And you understand that whenever we get to the place in our life that the storms are blowing, when we get to the place that it seems like everything is failing around us, when we get to the place where it seems there's no way out, let me tell you, that's the time we look up. And that's the time that we see who. And we see the Lord up in heaven. And with this is where God says, the Lord is his name. You know, there's something powerful about the name of God. That when you look through the Bible, you could see various names of God. You could see the Lord of hosts. That means that God is the God of all of the armies of heaven. Hey, God plus one is already a majority, but God has all the armies of heaven. You can look outside the fence and see Nebuchadnezzar's army, but God has more. He is the Lord of hosts. We know the name of Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. We've talked about the different names of God. Jehovah Nissi, the banner, the Lord is my banner. That as long as you see that banner, that flag waving, you know that God's still there. That God is our banner. And so God takes time and says, Jeremiah, look at me. What is my name? I am God. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 has a verse that many of us are familiar with. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that we must believe that he is. He is what? He is God. That's what we need to be reminded of. God is still God. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to take the book of Jeremiah chapter 33. And I'd like to show you that the Lord is his name. The very first thing I'd like to show you here is that the power to save in his name. The power to save in his name. Notice with me again in verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Now in verse 2, it reminds us that God is the maker of it. Maker of what? The maker of everything. He is the God who breathed the world into existence. With his strong arm, he created the universe. That he made everything. He is the maker thereof. He formed it. He established it. And by the way, the Lord is his name. You know, sometimes we get to the place where we forget how powerful God is. You know, this is the God who made everything. He made it with just speaking it. And let there be light, and there was light. As many times as you would like to see your electronics do it, you can't speak light into existence. The God is the one who makes light. God is the one who made the universe. He made the clay that we were made of. God made it all. And just as a reminder, that same God has not lost his power. He has not lost his strength. It has not diminished. And because God is God, verse number 3 occurs. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You understand in verse 3, it's not just simply giving God a prayer request. It's saying, God, I don't even know how to pray, but I know that you are God, and God will do it. You understand, that same God who spoke the world in existence has the power to answer prayers. And by the way, not just small prayers, big prayers, impossible prayers, prayers that we don't even dare to pray because of our faithlessness. But you understand, you could call unto God and watch God work. Because God has power. God is able to work. Even in a situation like Jeremiah's in, where it seems like your life is a failure, everything's failing, everything's ready to collapse, you're in prison, God can still hear and answer prayers, even in your darkest night. When it seems like the bill collectors are on the other side of the phone, God can still answer prayers. When it seems like nothing is going right, God can answer prayers. When it seems like that person will never change, God can answer prayers. When it seems like that pain will never go away, God can answer prayers. You understand? The Lord is his name. Who are we talking to when we pray? Well, I hope that you're talking to the Lord and not the ceiling. I hope you're talking to the Lord and not grandma. I heard an old preacher say that he had a little girl that was at grandma's house, and someone was asked her to pray, and she was saying, God, I need a brand new doll, and not just any doll, this special type of doll that has long hair and long dress, and I want this. And the mom afterwards said, why was you yelling? God's not deaf. And the girl said, yeah, but grandma is. You understand? Who are you talking to? Are you talking to grandma? Or are you talking to God? Who are you talking to? It is the God of the universe. The God who could do anything. That is the God we could talk to. How much power does he have? Well, he is able to do miracles. You understand? He has so much power. He could change a sinner into someone that is considered never a sinner. Sinless. Notice with me in verse 8. And I will cleanse them. Now we understand he's talking about Jerusalem, but we can apply this. Notice this. I will cleanse them from all, not part, not some, but all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. Now notice this. God is willing to forgive us of sins that we've done against him. Now we understand that all sin is against him, but these people wasn't just sins that they were doing. It was against God directly. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I'll do my own thing. God's able to forgive you of even that. He's able to forgive you of all sin, all iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. God has the power to save. You understand that is still the biggest miracle of all. To take a sinner like me and to turn me, to wash me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness and put me so I'm going to heaven that I can have eternal life, that the Holy Spirit of God can live inside of me. That is a huge miracle. And that's not something to take lightly. It doesn't matter how small the child is when they accept Christ. That is a major miracle. You don't have to be a drunkard and a druggie and get saved for everyone to say, what a great miracle. When a young child bows their head, that is an amazing miracle. To think that God can take us and to forgive all of us. He has that much power. And if you think of all the sins that you've done, that is an amazing thing that he has that much power to wash those sins away. Notice with me in verse number 9. Not only does he save us, but he wants us to prosper. Verse 9. And it shall be to me a name of joy. Now again, he's talking about these Jewish people. He's talking about Jerusalem being rebuilt. And he says, not only am I going to forgive them, I want to change their name. I want it to be a name unto me, a name of joy and praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which do hear all the good that I do for them. And they, that's those nations, shall fear and tremble for the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure it. You understand what God wants to do with your life? He wants to bless your life. He wants to pour blessings. He wants to answer prayers. He wants to do so many amazing things that what happens is that you become a joy and a praise and an honor before all the nations. People say, what's up with you? And you say, let me tell you what my God does for me. Let me tell you about the prayers that God answers for me. Let me tell you about the amazing things that God does. You understand, God can do amazing things. And when people actually see that you have a God that can answer prayers, they say there's something to it. Do you have a God that answers your prayers? Do you believe that your God can answer prayers? You know, one of the things we train our folks to do when we go door knocking is that when we go door knocking, we're not trying to invite them to church or trying to pounce on them with the gospel. We're trying to get the gospel. We're trying to open the door. But we ask them immediately, is there anything we can do to pray for you on? And the people are taken aback because they're not you. We're not trying to get something from them. We're trying to be a blessing to them. And you know what happens? They give us prayer requests. And we could write them down and it gives us a reason to follow back up with them. Hey, you've been asked us to pray for your company. How's it going? Hey, you prayed for asked us to pray for Aunt Susie. How's she doing? We remember one time I was knocking on doors again, going through a neighborhood. And I had a man come and say, I know that church. He said, last year I had a couple of your folks from your church come and they prayed for me. I've had a house that I've been trying to sell for years and it just wouldn't sell. And so I asked them to pray for the house to sell. And within the month, that house sold. And it happened to be a year later that I knocked on the door and he said, I never forgot it. And I was able to lead him to the Lord. Why? Because he saw that there was a God who could answer prayers. And you understand, how scary the rest of the nations are when they say there's a people that can get a hold of God and can talk to him and he answers their prayers? No wonder the Bible says, and it shall be unto me a name of joy and praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. God wants to do unto us great things. And they, those nations, shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for the prosperity that I procure unto it. You understand the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You wonder why you don't have something? Did you ask? Did you ask knowing that there's a God in heaven who has it all and has all power and believe that God can answer even the impossible? We should be asking for impossible things because what a great testimony when people say God did that for you. Yes, my God can do that for me. And my God can do that for you. Would you like to know more? You understand one of the powerful things that we have is answer prayers. And the rest of the nations will tremble in fear, seeing that there is a great God who has such power to not only save me, not only to change my testimony, and people say, what happened to that person? Well, let me tell you, God washed me clean and he saved me. It's not that I just got religion. It's I got a brand new life. And people scratch their head and said, what happened? And we say, look at what God did. You understand that the greatest evidence that the Bible works, the greatest evidence that we say biblical Christianity is true, is the evidence of a changed life. And it comes because there's a God in heaven who has so much power. And this God has the power to save in his name. You know, there's something else that we see about the name of God and how powerful it is that we see that the power to save at his name. But let me show you this, the Savior that changes our name. The Savior that changes our name. Notice with me in verse number 10. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which you say is desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant, without beast. Of course, the destruction is coming. But guess this, it seems like it's bleak now. It seems like the destruction, it's coming. But guess what? God's going to get you to the other side. Verse number 11, what's going to happen to this destructive city? The voice of joy. The voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, what a wonderful thing. That you understand that God is able to change things in our life. He's able to change me. And he has a desire to show mercy to those that come to him. And what we're great need of is his mercy. Because we're fail God all the time. Oh, I'm so glad that his mercy endureth forever. His compassions, they fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Oh, what a wonderful God. What a powerful God that we have. And that he is able to do those wonderful things. Notice it says, and of them that shall bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You know, one of the great things we can do to show that God has done something for us is to sing. To bring the sacrifice of praise. To come with our voices and say, what a great God we have. Oh, it's one of the greatest things we could do. The Bible speaks about that all over. And we're talking about the mercies of God. Notice this. As God is going to send a Savior. Notice with me. Jump with me for sake of time. Verse 15. And in those days, at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Notice this name of God mentioned here, this name of God, branch. This word branch is used 12 times throughout the word of God. And it refers to Jesus Christ. And it shows the Messiah in four notable ways. That in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and here in Jeremiah 33, 15, it shows the branch as Christ the King, just like it does in the gospel record of Matthew. That it shows that Jesus Christ is the King. In Zechariah 3, 8, it shows that the branch refers to Christ as the servant, just like it does in the gospel record of Mark. In Zechariah 6, 12, it shows Jesus Christ is the branch, and it shows him as the perfect man, as it does in the gospel record of Luke. And then in Isaiah 4, 2, we see that the branch refers to Christ as it shows him as Jehovah, just like the gospel record of John shows that Jesus Christ is God. That this name branch is a very powerful name of Christ. He is that coming Savior. He is the one who works. He is the Savior with a powerful name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is by Him's name that we are saved. It is by the name of Jesus Christ that God does a wonderful thing. Notice with me in verse 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety, and this shall be the name wherewith she, this is talking about Jerusalem, shall be called the Lord our righteous. And again, it's referring to the city where the Jewish people are going to inhabit it in the millennium kingdom. And God says, wait, wait, I'm changing her name to the Lord of righteousness. You understand, the same thing happens to us, the Bible describes, when you accept Jesus as your Savior. He changes your name. You become a Christian. You become part of the family of God. You are part of the family where you'll never be divorced. You'll never be disowned. You'll never be kicked out. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be part of the family. He changes our name and He makes us part of Him. What a powerful God that we have. But there's one other thing I'd like to show you in here, speaking about the name of God, that God does have great power. And we see that He has the power to save in His name. We see that this mighty Savior that comes to change our name, we also see here, is that the eternal promises kept by His name. The eternal promises kept by His name. If you don't mind, notice with me, let's just jump straight into verse number 20. Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, and my ministers. Now this is an important promise. God says this, if there's one day you wake up, and the sun does not rise. Now, I'm not talking about hidden from the skies by clouds. It's not hidden away because of the weather. I mean, the sun just doesn't come up. It's just not there. It's not coming. It's still night. Stars in the middle of the day. If the day decides not to come, when it finally comes, that if it's daytime and the night never comes, that as soon as that is broken, you can say, well, God breaks His promises. But the day keeps coming. And the night keeps falling. And it keeps going on without stop. There's never been a day in your lifetime where you said, oops, we skipped night. We're just having 2 days straight in a row. God keeps His word. And just as steady as the earth continues to rotate around its axis, just as steady as the earth continues to rotate around the sun, you understand? God will keep His word. There's not a place where God gets a loophole. There's not a place where God says, well, I just don't want to deal with Him anymore. God will keep His word. Now this all comes to the place of the idea for us of prayer, that God is a God who still has all power, and He could answer even the most amazing prayer requests. He can answer the most needy of needs, the most impossible of needs. He can answer prayers, and the answer to prayers can cause the nations, the people, your co-workers, your families to tremble and say, wow, their God is real. We understand that there's a God who will keep His promises. And there's a promise that he made that God promised to answer every prayer. Now, we're not going to get to the nuts and bolts of it. But every time you pray, guess what? God promised to answer it. It may not be exactly how you wanted it, but God promised to answer every prayer. Didn't Jesus say that in Luke's chapter 11 when he was talking about the model prayer and he was teaching? And he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Isn't that a promise? Can Jesus lie? Well, no, he can't. He said, if you pray, God will work. Now, we, again, our misunderstandings may happen. Let me give you a little bit of the curtain. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verses 26 through 29 deal with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit interacts with us in prayer. But we, in the midst of that, is the second most famous Bible verse in all the world. The first, John 3:16, second, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. But Romans 8:29 adds to it, for whom we did foreknow, we were also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What does that mean? It means all things work together for good in our life to make us more like Jesus. What better goal could you have? That every time you pray, God does something in your life to make you more like him. You understand the greatest evidence that the Bible works is the evidence of a changed life. God can work. Now, at the same time, we're still watching God answer prayers. God's able to do the impossible. And you should be praying the impossible. Why should you pray the impossible? Well, first of all, because God is God and he hasn't lost his power. Second of all, he said you could. Third of all, it comes the idea that others will go, wow, that God answers prayer. You should be praying for the impossible prayer. So let me ask you a question, dear friend. What is the impossible prayer, the big prayer, that prayer that you're almost afraid to ask because you're afraid it won't come true? What is that big prayer that you are asking for? If I was to come up and ask you, what is the big prayer? Could you tell me? Would you be afraid to tell me? You understand, there's a God who could do it. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself into. There is a God that's bigger than that situation. There is a God that's bigger than that family member. There's a God who's bigger than that family member's ego and his stubbornness. There's a God who can give grace in the midst of pain. There's a God who owns all of the finances of the world. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. I had a friend of mine in college once. They went to the Lord and they were crying because they needed money. And they said, God, you own all the cattle of a thousand hills. Why don't you just kill one of those cows and give it to us? Wouldn't you know, a couple days later, they received a letter that said, one of your uncles in Wyoming had a cow and we couldn't get it to you to Tennessee, so we go ahead and sold it and here's the money for it. Can't God answer prayers? Can he do the amazing things? Can he do some wonderful things? Because he is God and he wants to prosper us. He wants, now I'm not talking about naming and claiming. I'm not talking about waving a green hanky type thing. I am talking that there is a real God in heaven. And what is the impossible prayer that you're almost afraid to ask? What is that thing that you would love to see God do? In just a moment, we're going to pass out. In fact, we'll do it now, Krista. I'm going to pass out a marble. And I want you to keep this marble with you. And this is a reminder for you that every time you see this marble, men, put it in your pockets. Ladies, don't put it in your purse. You'll never find it again. It's next to the ladder and the umbrella. But put it somewhere that you could serve as a physical reminder to pray for that big thing. You just take this rock, this pebble thing, and you say, this is going to remind me for this big prayer. Maybe it's a finance thing. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's a family member thing. Maybe it's something else that I haven't even mentioned. But you serve, have it, and serve it as a reminder to yourself to pray for that big prayer and to expect God to do his wonderful work, to expect God to do an amazing thing. Move quickly. That God can do something amazing because we have a God who could answer our prayers. Once again, Jeremiah 33 verses 2 and 3, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Remember where Jeremiah is. He's in prison just because he tried to take a vacation. His life is a failure, so much so that everyone's using him as an example of a failure. The Babylonian army is outside of the walls, and just a few short weeks, the entire city will be destroyed. The everything that Jeremiah spent his life warning against is coming to pass. And as in the midst of this, in his jail cell, God comes to him and says, "Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God's not telling Jeremiah this when there's butterflies and rainbows and unicorns. He's telling him this in Jeremiah's darkest hour, when he thinks there's no way out. That is when God wants to work. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.